I'm right here with you in the trenches of motherhood. I certainly don't have it all figured out, especially since adding number two. So I'm working through this with you as a team. My hope today is that you just leave with a few tips that will empower you and give you encouragement to add some, maybe a little bit more of health and fitness into your life. So a little bit about me. There's my girlies. I was born in a family where I was taught about fitness at a really young age. It was very much a part of what our family did together. We'd go on family bike rides. I watched my mom do jazzercise videos in the living room. You guys remember those? Yes? She definitely had some good leg warmers going on. So just growing up, exercise was something really fun that our family did together. So it had really positive associations for me. And so it never felt like a chore or something that I had to do. And as I was growing up, I did sports as a kid. During college, I got trained to teach kickboxing classes, which I love. And then I taught stroller strides for a while, which is where I know a few of you ladies from. Yeah, good times. And then about 3.5 years ago, I ended up starting my own fitness company, which is called Tailored Fitness. And it's free workouts and recipes and encouragements for moms online who work out at home. So that's kind of how I got into what I do. But as I grew older, I really began to look back on my childhood and realize that was a gift. My parents gave me a gift by living out in front of me what it looked like to eat well and what it looked like to have exercise be a normal part of your day. And those habits that I learned as a kid followed me into adulthood, and I realized this is not something I did. This is something my parents helped me and taught me as a young child. And you know that our kids watch everything that we do, and we have an incredible opportunity to encourage them in many areas, including their health and fitness. So that's kind of my goal today, to give you a few tips on how to do that in your own family so that you can pass that gift on to your children as well. All right. Are you guys know the game Two Truths and a Lie? All right, so we're going to do that real quick with me. Here's kind of travel edition for me. It's three statements, two of which are true, one is a lie, and I'm going to have you give a guess. So I studied abroad in Italy, I rode a camel in Egypt, and I went scuba diving in Bali. Any guesses on the lie? It's actually the studying abroad in Italy. It's one that seemed most boring, right? Everyone thinks, well, you must have been to Italy because our daughter's names are Capri and Siena, which are both Italian cities. But I actually haven't been there yet. It's on my list. But I did take an amazing trip to Egypt and Israel, got to see where Jesus walked and did his ministry. And my husband and I did go scuba diving in Bali, which is amazing. So that game is hard, especially because you don't know me. But even if you play Two Truths and a Lie with people that you do know, it can be really hard sometimes to distinguish the truth from the lies. And it's the same way in the health and fitness industry. So today we're going to look at two truths about exercise and healthy eating and kind of debunk some of the myths that are out there in the media. And then we're going to talk about a lie that we as moms get to work on combating. All right, so we're going to start out with exercise, and I believe you have a note sheet. If you want to follow along, you're welcome to. You have to forgive me. I'm a former teacher. I want to make sure everybody's comprehending. So we're going to dive into exercise, which is truly my passion. So when you talk to someone and they say, I really want to get into shape, what is the most common exercise that they say they're going to start doing? Running, right? Yeah. Did you know that going out for a long run, even though it's good for you, is not actually the most effective type of exercise? It's not. Recent research has kind of debunked the myth. I think somewhere along the line, women were told the myth that if you want to be thin, you have to do tons and tons of cardio. You need to be on the Stairmaster for an hour and a half. You need to go for these long runs. But it's actually not true. The most efficient type of workout is made up of two parts, and this is what's on your note sheet there. It's something called HIIT cardio, we're going to talk about what that means, and strength training. The combination of those two things, based on what they've researched in the science of exercise, gives you the most bang for your buck, the most effect for your minute that you're working on there. So let's take a look at what those two things mean. So HIIT stands for high intensity interval training. That's high intensity interval training. So basically this is cardio where instead of going at a steady pace, like you would go out and go for a jog, where you're really going about the same pace the whole time, you alternate between periods of intense work and periods of recovery. So I gave you a sample on your note sheet there of what a 15-minute HIIT cardio running workout might look like. There's lots of ways to do this besides running as well. You can do it on a bike. You can do it with bodyweight exercises. The goal is to hit those high-intensity moments and then bring it back down and recover. And by doing that, you're revving up your metabolism and you're increasing your calorie burn both during the workout as well as afterwards. So it's definitely a super effective way to work out. The great news is that it's really good for moms because it doesn't take very long to get a really great workout. But the bad news is it's hard. You really have to get your gusto up and push yourself during those high intensity moments to create the deficit there that's going to give you the effect. So you might be asking, well, what does a long run do? It's still really great for you to go out for a jog. It works a little bit more on your muscle endurance and on strengthening your heart, just not as efficient for that fat loss and that calorie burn. So I know as moms, our time is super precious. We don't have a lot of it. So we want to get the most effect we can in the least amount of time. So that's one simple way, if you are going out for walks or runs, to be able to change it up a little bit and get more out of what you're already doing on a regular basis. All right, moving on to strength training. So most women steer clear of strength training because you don't want to bulk up. You don't want to get big. But the reality is men have 10 to 30 times more testosterone in their bodies than women. So when we lift weights, we're not going to get big or bulk up like men do for the most part. We see women bodybuilders and we think, oh, I'm not sure that's the look I'm going for. But they have a very specific training plan, usually supplementing. It's really hard to achieve those results that they're working on. The average woman who's adding in strength exercise, that's not the results you're going to end up with out there. So the myth out there is that to avoid bulking up, you should do lots of reps with light weights, but it's just not true. Pictures like this girl over here crack me up because I guarantee she did not get those toned arms from lifting that green dumbbell. It just doesn't work that way. She's lifting heavier. She's eating right. There are a lot of components that go into it. But the point is that you don't have to be afraid of lifting weights. You don't have to be afraid of building muscle. Building muscle is a good thing. When you build muscle, you'll be losing fat at the same time, and you're going to end up smaller and more toned. And I think this picture kind of illustrates it the best. There's 5 pounds of fat versus 5 pounds of muscle. So as you can see, the muscle is far more dense. So you're going to be, if you're swapping fat for muscle, you're going to end up smaller and stronger, and that's what's going to give you the tone and the energy, frankly, to be a mother. We need energy. We need exercise as moms to make it through our days, to lift up our kids when they get heavy and they want to be lifted up. So it's practical. For me, health and fitness is about so much more than the physical. It's sure, we want our clothes to fit, but it's about energy. It's about health. It's about feeling good so that you can tackle and be the best mom that you can be. So it's worth noting, though, when you add strength exercise to your workouts and you start building muscle, the number on your scale might actually go up. And that can be kind of disheartening for those of us who the scale is what we kind of use to gauge our progress. But the reason for that is just what we talked about. Look how much more dense that muscle is. It's going to be, you know, heavier there. So that number might go up, but you're going to be noticing that your clothes are fitting better. My advice, pack up the scale, put it away. You don't need it. The way that your clothes are fitting is a much better measure of your progress than that number on the scale. And the same is true with if you're working on, you know, getting back into shape after having a baby. You can get back to that number on the scale, but your body will look totally different at that number than it did before. I know I definitely, I would get there after having, not quite there yet with Capri, get there after having Sienna, and I'm like, okay, here I am, but this is not the same body I had before. And a lot of that is because I needed to rebuild that strength and that muscle tone that I lost during pregnancy. When you're pregnant, it's harder to move with as much intensity as you are when you're not pregnant, and especially during that postpartum period when you're just recovering and figuring out life with the baby, you're slowing down. And unfortunately, we lose muscle tone really fast. Wish it wasn't that way, but it's just the reality. So rebuilding that muscle tone, rebuilding that strength is really key for helping you to get back to where your clothes are fitting well. You kind of feel like yourself again. It definitely was for me. So I've heard it explained this way, and you have this on your note sheet as well. Cardio makes you a smaller version of the shape you are, but resistance training is what helps reshape your body. So definitely don't discount risk any resistance training. And we'll talk about some ideas for what that might look like. We're going to move on to some details for kind of how to make these workouts fit into your life, because this is great philosophical information, but if you can't figure out a way to apply it on a regular basis, then you're no better off than when you walked in here. So let's tackle that a little bit. So finding time to work out as a mom. Tricky. I think that when is definitely the hardest. Here are a couple options for you. Maybe before the kids get up, during nap time, while the kids play nearby. Maybe you have childcare help that you can head out to the gym or something like that. When is probably the toughest? And I think you probably have to just play with it, around with it, and you might find a combination of them work for you. But if you're not a morning person, you probably don't want to plan on doing it before the kids get up every day, because it's just not going to be practical for you long term. I think that a lot of times in the media, a lot of what fitness sells is, here's your quick fix, do this for 90 days and you'll be good to go forever. It's just not the way it works. And truly, it's not the best for how you feel. You want to find something that you can make a lifestyle long term, so that you can have that stress relief and that those endorphins flowing on a regular basis, because that's going to help you in so many ways in your life. So finding a time that works for you. And then I kind of think of it, once I figure out that time for the day, I try to treat it like a doctor's appointment. I'm going to show up. It's important. I'm going to be there. It's okay to take time for you. I think moms need to hear that. It's good. You need to. You need to be at your best so that then you can be your best for your kids. So take that time and set it aside like you would a doctor's appointment. What you like to do. Finding a workout is kind of like dating. You just got to try it out and see if it clicks. There are tons of options out there, which is the good news. So just kind of trying something. You may not find something you love, but at least find something that you don't dread doing. So chances are, if you just continue to try new things, there's so many things. This weekend, I'm going to try an aerial Pilates class where, like, you're suspended doing Pilates. Sounds fun to me. We'll see what it is. So there's tons of options out there for you. As far as where to work out, you have options there as well. And this is one of the logistical things that you need to think about if you're trying to make changes in this area of your life. Outdoors is a great option. I sometimes work out while my daughter's playing at the park. I have a park bench arms workout up on my blog right now where all you need is a park bench and you can get a little workout in while your kids are on the swing. Also, taking the kids out in a stroller, maybe for a run like I've got on your note sheet there, is a great way to do it. For me, getting outside, getting in nature, beauty of what the Lord made, that's uplifting for me. If I'm having a crummy day, lots of times just getting outside changes my perspective. So I love working out outside for that reason. You can also head to the gym or a studio if you have that option. Classes are so fun because you get to just show up. You know you're going to get a great workout if you just listen and follow along. And you get to try something new. So if there's a way for you to do that, that's a great one as well. But it can be a little complicated to get out of the house, which is why I'm a huge proponent of working out at home. I think in a lot of times in this phase of our life, even if it's not your favorite, it might be what's more practical, because you don't have to load the kids up, put them in the car, drive them to the gym, then you're at the gym one day, they get sick, and then you're off your schedule, you can't go for a week. The logistics of going out of the house for workouts is sometimes more complicated than it's worth. So doing something at home is a great option. I always enjoyed working out at home, but I was frustrated with what options there were out there. I would buy a DVD, I'd do it three times, and like, okay, I know exactly what he's gonna say next. It just gets boring to do the same thing over and over again. And from an exercise science standpoint, when you do the same type of workout, your body is getting used to that workout and you're going to be seeing less results. That's why variety is so important, more than just for your mind of keeping yourself interested in it, but for keeping your body challenged and doing new things that are gonna help you continue to get stronger. So variety is definitely important. So I was kind of frustrated with what was out there, and especially for the postpartum mom. I mean, Insanity is a great workout, but all that jumping when you're newly postpartum doesn't feel so great. So finding something that worked for me as I was getting back into shape was really helpful. And from talking to other mom friends, we're like, you know what? I don't really feel like there's much out there. So that's kind of how my company, Tailored Fitness, was born. I decided I can't find it. I'm going to create it. So what we put together is just a site that works like an app on your phone or tablet, and you can browse through and you can pick out a workout. It plays like a YouTube video would. And all of them are put together like I was just talking about with the science of HIIT cardio and strength training there to help you. So I'll show you briefly. And the site is on the bottom of your sheet as well. There's nothing to buy. It's just a resource for you ladies. Whenever I speak, I don't want to leave you guys hanging with nothing to do with what you've learned. I want you to be able to feel like, okay, I learned something today and I can actually do something with it. So this is what it looks like when you open up. You can kind of browse over here. You can browse for a workout based on a lot of different characteristics. You want to focus on your legs, focus on your arms, you can do that. You can pick intensity level. You can do them based on how much time you have. If you want to do a specialty workout, say you're in your second trimester, there you go. You know that all the workouts in there are safe and approved for second trimester. Or if you want to finish it for after a run, you want to work out with your baby. We have a couple with in the Ergo Carrier, which is fun. So if you know what you like, you can pick according to the style. Tabata is really similar to the HIIT training I was talking about. So you would pick that, and then here's all your workouts. If you look closely, you might be able to find Miss Lauren Schrader in a few of the videos. She helped me out with some of them. So great options for you there. Just wanted to kind of show you ladies that, like I said, it's free and it's there. And if you don't want to think and you want to just do what you're told, there are programs for you where it tells you day one, do this, day two, do this. So it kind of walks you through and even has some nutrition steps along the way. So exercise, I think when you think through the logistics of how am I going to make this fit in my life, and you have tools like Tailored Fitness and other things that will help you to make it practical, it suddenly doesn't seem quite so overwhelming. And truly, 3 to 4 days a week, 30 to 45 minutes. That's what your goal is. As a mom, when you're already running around after toddlers, you're getting plenty of activity in your lifestyle. So it's a great thing to just add on a little bit more of that intensity. But it doesn't have to be an hour every day. And also, it's okay if it's interrupted. Most of my workouts at home, they get interrupted sometimes 2-3 times, feels like a million. And I'm like, am I making any difference right now? Trying so hard to just fit in this 30-minute video and it's taking me like an hour and a half. It still counts, even if it's interrupted. Think of it like your intervals. Your kids are just providing those intervals for you when you have to stop and care for them. So don't give up. What I end up doing to kind of fit it in, one night a week I end up going to the gym when my husband can watch the kids. I do 2 days when my baby's sleeping but my daughter is awake. She likes to grab her own little dumbbells and stay entertained along with me. And then we end up doing one day as a family on the weekend with like a hike or something like that. So that's kind of how I fit it in. So don't feel like you have to just pick one, play with it, and just kind of continue to work at it. Don't give up at it. If 1 week doesn't go the way you planned, don't throw out the whole week. Just kind of jump back on track whenever you can. There are tons of interruptions as a mom. You get on track with something and then something changes. So you just kind of constantly have to be reevaluating about what works for you in your life. Let's move on to healthy eating. It can be so confusing. If you walked through a bookstore in the nutrition section, it's like, okay, do I choose zone diet, vegan, blood type, low carb, paleo? It's endless, the options out there, and it can be confusing to know, well, what's the right one? What works for me? In my experience, I don't think there's really a magic diet that's like, this is the one that everyone should do. When it comes down to it, healthy eating comes down to two things. It's what you're choosing to eat and how much you're choosing to eat. That sounds really simple, so let's drill down a little bit more into it. As far as what you eat, I'm not telling you anything new here. You want to eat foods as close to the source as possible. You want them to look the way they did when they came off the tree or out of the ground. The least amount of processing, the better. When they do that processing, a lot of times the nutrients are lost, and some of the additives that they're adding into those processed foods just aren't good for us. So my rule of thumb is if I'm browsing through a label, if I can't pronounce it, I probably shouldn't be eating that ingredient. So just sticking to as close to those foods, as close to source as possible. You may find that your body is sensitive to certain foods. Gluten and dairy are usually the hot ones. And a lot of the diets that are popular, like paleo and vegan diets, they're based on that, cutting out some of those trigger foods or those foods that can cause allergies. You might feel better without them. If you can eat them without a problem, eat them. There's nothing inherently wrong with them. But you might just need to kind of play with what works for your body. Since having Capri, I've had to cut out both gluten and dairy. It was so hard during the holidays, but it was really eye-opening for me because I did notice that I felt a little better without those things in my diet. So I think that after I finish breastfeeding, I'll introduce them slowly, but maybe I'll try to kind of keep those levels low since I did notice a difference. So just kind of play with that. That part's very individual as far as what works for you. As far as how much you eat, portion size is truly the key to eating what you like. You can have pretty much any food as long as you keep it within reason. But it's not very practical as a mom to have your measuring cup and your food scale as you're everywhere you go trying to keep things within the right portion. So the trick I use is the palm of your hand. So the palm of your hand is the size of a portion should be for either a protein or a carb, so your meat or your rice, potatoes, your carb that you're having. So when you're filling your plate up, you want to kind of think, okay, do I have about that amount of protein and about that amount of carbs? It's not an exact science. Of course, you could cheat and pile it like 5 inches high if you wanted to, but it gives you a general guideline. When it comes to vegetables and fruits, you can have a larger portion than the palm of your hand. And if, when the, you're coming to those higher fat foods and those desserts, you want to have a little bit of a smaller portion there. So, and then one other rule of thumb, I don't know about you, I have certain foods that are just really hard for me to resist. And so I just have learned if I keep them in the house, I'm going to overeat. So I just don't keep them at home. I'll eat them when we go out to restaurants, I'll enjoy them, but it's a lot easier for me to say no once in the grocery store than to say no over and over and over when it's sitting there in my pantry or, in my case, in my freezer. that's just kind of a good rule of thumb if you're really trying to work on that. If you find certain foods that are trigger foods for you or really hard for you to resist, try for a while. Let's just not buy them. Let's just get, you know, other things and enjoy them when you eat out, but not maybe have them at home. So, all right, moving on. So you've got your two truths. We're moving on to our lie. There's definitely a lie that we as moms are confronted with on a daily basis in the media. And if we are not aware, we can unknowingly believe it at face value. And the lie is that if we just work hard enough, if we just try a little harder, we can have it all, or we can be the perfect mom. So I jotted down real quick some things that I think our culture kind of says, here, this is what the perfect mom looks like. She's always put together. She and her kids always look like they stepped out of a magazine. She bounces back into shape after having a baby and has the perfect thigh gap. Her house is always clean and organized. It's decorated with handmade crafts that she found on Pinterest. She's home with her kids full time, yet runs a successful side business on the side. She is an excellent wife, planning romantic weekly date nights with her husband. She feeds her family only organic, non-GMO, gluten-free whole foods. She captures all of the milestones and publishes them on social media. Her kids' birthday parties are epic, and her kids are always well-behaved and use manners whenever they interact with others. The list goes on. I think we would all agree that perfect mom sheet doesn't exist, and we all know that in our head, but if you take a close look, if you really stop and look at the expectations that you're setting for yourself, I think that we might be surprised how some of those things I just read on the list are creeping in, and maybe you are expecting some of those things out of yourself. And when you fail to meet those expectations, what you come back to is this thought: I'm not enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not organized enough. I'm not doing this well enough. And that can be devastating. That can be really hard to deal with on a regular basis. And that's how that lie shows up in our daily lives. I think we've come a long way as moms about being vulnerable and sharing our struggles, but I still think for the most time, we are our own PR managers. You know, we can select the photos that we're putting up on social media with just the right crop and the right filter. We might get frustrated if a friend just pops by our house because we didn't have time to clean it up before they came over to the standard that we felt like was appropriate. You know, someone might ask you, how are you doing? And, you know, you might say, oh, great, because you don't want to reveal to the girl who looks like she has it all together that you might actually be struggling. So I think what we're doing is we're projecting an image of ourselves that we feel like is appropriate for the world to see. The real trouble comes when we start comparing ourselves to those images that we're seeing projected of others. This quote I think that you have on up here explains it best. We compare ourselves to someone else we are comparing our behind the scenes to their highlight reel. Think about that for a minute. We compare ourselves to someone else. We are comparing our behind the scenes to their highlight reel. What we see on social media is a highlight reel. It's the best moments from everybody's day. And when we're sitting there at the end of our day in our sweatpants after the kids have been so hard, we're browsing through and we're like, wow, that person, you know, seems to always have it together. Their husband always brings them flowers. You know, wow, she never has a bad hair day. And then suddenly we're like, my life feels pretty inferior right now. I don't feel like enough. But you're comparing yourself to something that doesn't exist. The same is true with magazine covers and videos. I mean, I loved that they played Coley Kelly's song at the beginning. When you look at a magazine or an ad, you're seeing someone who won the genetic lottery, had a great hair and makeup person do them all up, a photographer to take pictures, and then, oh wait, then they got photoshopped to be, quote, perfect. So when you're sitting there in your t-shirt covered in spit up and Cheerios and you're comparing yourself to that image, of course we're going to come up to feel like we aren't enough because that image does not exist. I think we just need to be aware of it. And it's all over the fitness industry as well. Most of the fitness magazines you pick up, you flip through, there's a celebrity workout, right? It's like, what it's implying is, if you do this workout, you look like this celebrity. No matter how many squats I do, I'm never going to have legs like Giselle. She's just built very differently than me. And that's the lie that they're selling to you, is if you just work hard enough, you can have this body, you can look this way. But it's just not true. And what we have to do to combat this is learn to embrace who we are and who God made us to be and become the best versions of ourselves. It doesn't mean we should throw it all out and stop trying. We can become the best versions of ourselves to be the strongest and the most healthy that we can. But we need to look at the media through a lens of truth. Do any of you guys wear contacts or glasses? I wear contacts. And there have been times where I'm in a room and I look over and I'm like, oh, there's a giant spider on the floor over there. And then I put on my glasses and I'm like, oh, that's a piece of fuzz. So it's like what you think you see is not always what is there. And it's the same with the media. And God gave us an amazing lens of truth that we can use to look at the media. So I want you to do this for me. Close your eyes for a second. I'm going to read to you two verses that remind us about the truth of ourselves and what we should be focusing on. The first one is Psalms 139, 13 through 16. So just soak this in and let it speak to your soul. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You can go ahead and open your eyes. So the truth we are to focus on is what's in Scripture there. It's what God says about us and who we are and how amazing we are and how he made us. I read a fabulous book a couple of years ago by Beth Moore that talks about insecurity and figuring out who you are. It's a great one if you want to pick it up. And I also love Mac Licato's book, You Are Special, because it empowers us as moms to teach these sometimes hard to figure out how to explain concepts to our children. So we're going to have story time for a minute. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to think about how this could be something maybe you could use with your children. The Wemmicks were small wooden people carved by a woodworker named Eli. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes, some were tall, and others were short. Each Wemmick had a box of gold star stickers and gray dot stickers. The wooden people went around the village sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones got stars. The Wemmicks with rough wood or chipped paint got dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could jump over tall boxes or sing pretty songs. Others could do little, and they got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. So the Wemmicks would give him dots. When he tried to explain why, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. "He deserves a lot of dots," the wooden people would say. After a while, Punchinello believed them. "I guess I'm not a good Wemmick," he decided. So he stayed inside most of the time. When he did go outside, he hung around with the other Wemmicks, who had lots of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a different kind of Wemmick named Lucia. She had no dots and no stars. The Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would give her a star, but it would fall off. Others gave her a dot for having no stars, but it wouldn't stay either. "That's the way I want to be," thought Punchinello. So he asked Lucia how she did it. "It's easy," she replied. "Every day I go to visit Eli the woodcarver." "Why?" You'll find out if you go and see him." Then Lucia turned and skipped away. "But will he want to see me?" Punchinello wondered. Later at home, he sat watching the wooden people giving each other stars and dots. "It's not right," he muttered himself, and he decided to go see Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path and stepped into Eli's shop. His eyes grew big. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoe just to see the top of the workbench. Punchinello swallowed hard. "I'm not staying here." And then he heard his name. "Punchinello?" The voice was deep and strong. "How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you." Punchinello looked up. "You know my name?" "Of course. I made you." Eli picked him up and set him on the bench. "Looks like you've been given some bad marks," said the maker. "I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard." "Punchinello, I don't care what the other Wemmicks think." "You don't?" "No, and you shouldn't either. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think, and I think you're pretty special." Punchinello laughed. "Me special? I'm not very talented, and my paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you?" Eli spoke very slowly. "Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me." Punchinello didn't know what to say. "Every day I've been hoping you'd come," Eli explained. "I came because I met Lucia," said Punchinello. "Why don't the stickers stay on her?" The maker spoke softly. "Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what others think. The stickers only stick if you let them." "What?" "The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers." "I'm not sure I understand." Eli smiled. "You will, but it will take time. For now, come and see me every day and let me remind you of how much I care." Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and sat him on the ground. "Remember," Eli said as Punchinello was leaving, "you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes." Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, "I think he really means it." And when he did, a dot fell off on the ground. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. And it would be such a simple way to read that book to your kids and talk about, well, what do you think those stars and dot stickers are? And kind of start introducing that conversation. I think that our kids are dealing with criticism from others and pressures of the media at younger and younger ages. And it's our job as moms to equip them and to help them to figure out how to deal with those things that they're facing so that we can be a help to them. So let's do a quick review. I told you I was a teacher, so pop quiz. What's the recipe for the most efficient workout? What do you have on your note sheet there? What two things? Shout it out. HIIT and strength training. Exactly. Yep. What healthy eating comes down to what two main things that you have there? What and how much you eat. And finally, what tool can you use to measure portions of protein and carbs? Palm of your hand. And then finally, just think in your mind of one way that we can combat those media images and remember the truth. All right, we're going to finish with a couple practical things to be able to kind of apply what we learned today into your daily life. Because again, if I give you all this knowledge, but you can't do anything with it, then it's no good. So here's some practical ways to kind of live out a healthy lifestyle with your family. The first one is to make fitness a family affair. We are so blessed to get to live in San Diego where we're in tank tops in February. There are so many opportunities for getting outside with your family, hiking, biking, even just going for a walk with your kids around the neighborhood after dinner time. There are lots of opportunities for getting active with your family. On the Tailored Fitness Pinterest account, I have a whole board on games you can play with your kids. Simple stuff like get out sidewalk chalk, draw out the alphabet, and then call out the letters as the kids run back and forth between them. You're getting them moving, you're teaching them, and you're doing something fun. Kids love to play, and when you make exercise like play, then they're going to learn to love it. So there's a lot of practical ways that you can do that. Cooking healthy meals together and talking about why you're choosing certain foods. Sitting down with them and saying, did you know that this bell pepper has vitamin C and that it helps you to avoid getting sick? Or these carrots, they help your eyes work better. It's amazing how God made this food that helps our bodies work. At our house, I wanted to avoid the terms junk food or bad food because I think it kind of tends to lead to feeling guilt when you eat something. I don't think there's anything wrong with having pizza and you know, cupcakes within reason, but in our house, we use the two terms. We say superfood and simple food. So superfoods are those awesome healthy foods that really fuel your body and give it what it needs to be able to function at a high capacity. Simple foods are those ones that taste really good, but they don't have as much in there to make your body function. So that's kind of how we talk about it. Hopefully, my hope is that I'm setting the groundwork to create a healthy relationship for them with food, that nothing's taboo. You can enjoy all foods, but there are some things that make our bodies work better than others. Finally, avoiding self-talk and instead modeling a healthy confidence that's rooted in your God-given identity. To combat those lies, what we need to do is sit in the presence of the Lord and let Him look you in the eye and say, you are enough because you are mine, because I made you. That's what He wants to speak to you. And then from that place of feeling the Lord's love so deeply and His approval so deeply, you can move forward in confidence and to show that healthy confidence to your kids. And this is an important one, especially for us, those of us with daughters. I think the media is hard on men, but I think you guys would agree that women are held to this impossible standard of perfection, and it's going to be the same for our kids, especially our daughters. So teaching them how to look at that media through the lens of truth and teaching them by your example of how you talk about yourself. I had an amazing mom, but she really struggled with self-esteem, and I would hear her say negative things about her body. She learned it from her mom, and I am determined to stop the cycle here, and I'm praying that the Lord will help me to only use those positive words when I'm talking about myself, especially in front of my children, because it is something that can get passed on. So I hope these are a few ways to help you give your children the gift of health. It was such an honor to talk with you ladies this morning. I just loved getting to share this time with you, and I hope that you come away feeling encouraged and empowered about what healthy living can look like for your family. I have a couple discussion questions for you guys that you're going to be talking at your tables about to kind of continue the conversation. Us moms are our best resource. Something someone at your table might say this morning might really click for you. So get to enjoy that discussion there. And before you go, one person, you can peek under your chairs, one person at your table has a little gift from Tailored Fitness. So, and come find me afterwards, look me up on social media. I love talking with you ladies, and I'll let your table leaders take it from here.